Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Sean sent me a note about an article on Reason.com. I love the work they do over there. And it's talking about the money that the IRS gets their hands on. And they tried to figure out how much money that is. So follow along because it gets interesting here. As law enforcement agencies patrol for profit, the secrecy surrounding cash seizures must stop. And the headline is, IRS stole money and hid the details for years. Kathy Sanchez and Daryl James wrote the article for Reason.com. The IRS, of course, demands transparency when its agents conduct audits. They sit down with you and they want to know the numbers and the facts and the money. You tell them. They open ledgers. They snoop through bank accounts. They review receipts. Its appetite for disclosure disappears, however, when people want information from them. The IRS stonewalled for more than 6 years when the Institute for Justice sought access to the agency's forfeiture database. Initially, the IRS said they needed $750,000 in fees before they would accommodate the FOIA request from the Institute for Justice. The Institute for Justice sent a FOIA request to the IRS and said, we want this information. And the IRS said, okay, as long as you pay us $750,000 to fulfill your request, we'll do that. That's a bit crazy. So the Institute for Justice took them to court. Once in court, the IRS attempted a bait and switch. Rather than provide the actual data, it released a summary report with 99% of its data redacted. It then declared that it had gone above and beyond the legal requirements. They actually got a district court judge to buy that, but on appeal, because the Institute of Justice will do that for you. The U.S. Court of Appeals, the D.C. Circuit, ruled against the agency in 2019. It took a second trip to the district court, and the IRS finally coughed up the full database in April of 2022. They just did this recently. For anyone without a law degree or the resources to endure a long legal battle, the message from the IRS is clear. Do not try this at home. Accountability is good for the taxpayer, but not for the tax collector. So, for example, Institute for Justice client Lyndon McClellan saw the double standard firsthand when IRS agents reached into his bank account and took his life savings without warning or cause in 2014. McClellan had purchased a small convenience store on the side of the road in Fairmont, North Carolina in 2001. He worked there for 13 years building the business. Over time, he expanded it to include a restaurant and a lunch counter. He worked long hours, rarely took vacations, and more importantly, he ran an honest enterprise. Federal agents accused him of violating structuring laws because his business frequently made bank deposits in amounts under $10,000. And I've talked about this briefly before, that if you deposit $10,000 or more in cash into your bank account, the bank will report that to the feds. Now, they'll also do that with other instruments, but we're talking about cash as the primary thing here. So if you walked into the bank and deposited $9,999.99 and you did that every single day instead of $10,000, somebody would look at that and go, oh, they're doing that to avoid reporting requirements. At least that is what they would assume. But if you deposit $7,000 one day, $8,000 the next, $6,000, $9,000, it might just be that your business doesn't generate $10,000 or more a day. Structuring, which is a form of money laundering, occurs when a person divides cash for the specific purpose of evading bank reporting requirements. There's no reason to believe that McClellan ever did that, but the IRS seized more than $107,000 from him anyway, saying that that was all structured cash. He says, it took me 13 years to save that money, and it took fewer than 13 seconds for the government to take it away. McClellan was never charged with a crime. But the government tried to keep his money permanently using a law enforcement maneuver called civil forfeiture. This scheme does not require a conviction or arrest. Vague allegations are good enough. And once the process ends, Congress allows federal agencies to keep 100% of the proceeds for themselves. And here, the allegation is that the crime that this money is the proceeds of is money laundering. The perverse incentive invites abuse, and the IRS got greedy. Between 2013 and 2015, the Institute for Justice represented small business owners in Iowa, Maryland, Michigan, New York, and North Carolina. All of the targets shared the same experience. One day they had money in their bank accounts, the next day they didn't. Lawmakers eventually clamped down on the abuse of structuring laws, and all of the Institute for Justice clients got their money back. But questions remained. How many innocent people had suffered? What was the annual revenue from the scheme? And how did federal agencies spend this money? The IRS wasn't talking, so the Institute for Justice sued with outside counsel to get answers. The database is large, and sorting through the raw material will take time. But once findings are available, they'll be shared. Sadly, government efforts to hide forfeiture data will continue, and not just at the federal level. Many state and local agencies withhold information as well, making scrutiny difficult. Now, the Institute for Justice put out a report in 2020 called Policing for Profit, and it represents the largest and most comprehensive forfeiture study ever attempted, yet there's still gaps there too. Some states require law enforcement agencies to report only combined data, allowing them to leave out the details necessary to detect abuses. Other states do not require any reporting. Records are never created in the first place, making public disclosure impossible. The worst offenders are Alaska, Delaware, Louisiana, and Montana, which all earn failing grades on a transparency report card included within Policing for Profit. The best policy solution is simple. Lawmakers should follow New Mexico's example and end civil forfeiture. Short of that, lawmakers should improve transparency. IRS auditors don't ask politely for information. Neither do police officers when serving a warrant. They bust open doors, rummage through closets, pore over computer files, dig through cars. Along the way, if they find cash, they take it. The least the government could do is provide detailed accounts of every seizure and track the money through the system. Information belongs to the public. That's the whole point. Is the government supposed to be working for us and they won't give us answers? Who are they working for then? The IRS and other agencies know the score, which is why they prefer secrecy. And I apologize. I realize by now that there's probably three or four edits preceding this that are a little bit more than you normally see in a video. I still am getting over my cold from last week. And I thought I was over it, but I went for a bike ride this morning. So the cold air didn't really help. And so my lungs are a little messed up. So rather than forcing you to listen to me hack my way through this video, there'll be some nice, smooth edits that you'll get to enjoy instead. But here's the deal, is that civil asset forfeiture happens all over the place. That's how popular it is. So you got local agencies doing it, state agencies doing it, the feds doing it, whether it's the IRS or who. And in the structuring thing, there have been some crazy examples of small businesses that take in cash. Quite often it's a small store, like this guy's example, right? So there's a business that takes in cash on a daily basis, and it just so happens to be less than $10,000 on average. They take their, you know, their proceeds to the bank and deposit them. Take them to the bank and deposit them. When I worked at the gas station, I remember the wife of the owner would come in the morning and do the books for the day before. And then there'd be a big zipper bag filled with cash and checks and whatever else could go to the bank. And I remember watching her sit at the desk, filling all that information out. And a lot of times she would leave and do the deposit on her way home, but the bank was right across the street. And I remember on a few occasions, her handing me the little package saying, "Steve, take it across the street, do the deposit, please." And I go across and do that. Now, I don't know how much money was in there. I didn't ask and I never opened it up and looked, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there was a certain amount that was the same most days because business was pretty steady. But if you had a business where you steadily brought in $8,000 or $9,000 a day, you actually got to think to yourself, do I want to risk making these $8,000 and $9,000 deposits daily? Or should I wait a day, sit on the cash, and make a $16,000, $17,000 deposit every other day? And of course, yeah, that'll get reported to the IRS, but you don't care if you're paying your taxes properly, right? However, that means you're sitting on cash for a day. Do you lock it up in the store? Do you take it home with you? If you're driving home with that cash because you don't want to deposit it and get in trouble for structuring, and a cop pulls you over and goes, why do you have this cash in your car? Why don't you take that to the bank and deposit it? You realize this, you can't win. It's a no-win situation. So that's the craziest aspect of these stories, is that no matter what you do, you can get in trouble. And so if you have the money on you, they'll say, well, obviously it's evidence of a crime. If you deposit it, they go, oh, you're structuring. That's money laundering. What do I do with this money? What do I do with it? So it's a crazy story, but the good news is, and this story is only halfway done, is that the Institute for Justice went to court, filed a lawsuit, had to take it up on appeal and win, went back down to district court, and finally got a judge to order the IRS to turn over all their information that they have on the money they have seized. And apparently it's so voluminous, it's going to take them a while to get through it. But I suspect it's going to be fun reading when we get it. So the Institute for Justice, doing great work. I encourage you to support them. I'll put a link to them in the description below. But from Reason.com, IRS stole money and hid the details for years. Sean, thanks for sending it. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. A Saturn car? It's the best worst car you'll ever own.